Well, one Sunday morning, the devil decided to go to church. And he appeared suddenly just before the offertory in a flame with flames and sparks and smoke. He ran up and down the aisle screaming, and all the congregation ran out except one old man sitting in the back row. The devil rushed up to him, leaned over him, shook his pitchfork, let out a ferocious roar and cried, "I am Satan, Beelzebul, the prince of darkness. I am evil incarnate. Do you not fear me?" The old man said, "Why should I? Been married to your sister for 48 years. Well, today, the devil, Satan, tests the Lord in the desert. You know, the first Sunday of Lent is always the reading about the temptation of Christ in the desert for the 40 days. Today is Mark's account, which is the shortest of all of the accounts of the temptation of Christ in the desert. So we look at this for a few moments, and it says that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, drove Jesus into the desert. That word "drove" in the Greek text is very interesting, because it's the same word that would be used if you picked up a stone and hurled it and threw it as fast as you could. So the Holy Spirit just hurled Jesus out into the desert, where he prayed and fasted for 40 days. It says the devil came and tested him and tempted him. So the Lord remained there 40 days in prayer and fasting among the wild beasts, and the angels came to minister to Christ. It's interesting when you think of why did Jesus spend 40 days? Well, the word 40 is a unique word in Scripture. In fact, there are many 40s in Scripture. We have the Lord, of course, fasting and praying for 40 days in the desert. But if you look into the Old Testament, Elijah the prophet fasted for 40 days on his way to Mount Horeb. Moses prayed on Mount Sinai for 40 days before God gave him the commandments. In the book of Genesis, it rained for 40 days during the time of the great flood. Goliath made fun of the Israelites for 40 days. He taunted them and teased them for 40 days before David was sent out to defeat him. We also have the Israelites for 40 years traveling throughout the desert for 40 years. So 40 is a very interesting number and special number in Scripture. So the Lord, before he would begin his public ministry, spent these 40 days in prayer and fasting. And that's why we have this period of Lent, which began this past Ash Wednesday. And this period of 40 days, originally in the church, was because of the people preparing for their baptism. The catechumens that were preparing to be received into the church at Easter time, they would be getting baptized, they would make their first sacraments of Holy Communion, they'd be confirmed. And so the church gave them a period of 40 days of prayer and preparation and fasting for the Easter sacraments. But eventually the church extended that, not just for those in RCIA, wasn't called that at the time, but the church extended that for everyone. Everybody in the church would have this opportunity for this season of grace and repentance and conversion and spiritual growth and renewal. In fact, the word Lent comes from an Old English word, Lenten, that means the springtime, because Lent takes us from winter into spring. Lent is that season of spiritual growth, that we need to be blossoming in our faith, growing in our faith. Lent is called a season of repentance and belief. That's what the Lord said in today's gospel. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So during this season of Lent, we too take the Lord at his word, and we have repentance. So it means we turn away from sin and we turn towards God. The best way to do that is by making a good confession during the Lenten season, making a truly good and holy confession, true repentance. And we began Ash Wednesday by receiving those ashes on our forehead. And we heard the words either, repent and believe in the gospel, or remember you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. And now we begin the season of repentance. And in the scriptures, when people were truly sorry for their sins, it says they put on sackcloth and put ashes on their head as a sign to God of their repentance. And that's how we began Lent as well, by having the ashes put on our forehead. Those ashes were made from the palms from last year that were burned. And those palms from Palm Sunday become the ashes of Ash Wednesday. So we began this penitential, this holy season. And for these 40 days, the church will have the priests wear violet, purple, which is a sign of a symbol for repentance. During the Mass, we will not be singing the Alleluia, right? Because that's a celebratory word. We will wait till Easter till we hear that again, unless there's a holy day or a feast day during Lent. We don't sing the Gloria during Lent. Again, it's a penitential, solemn season. You don't see flowers in the church during Lent as well. Notice the contrast between the solemnity and the starkness of Lent compared to Easter. When we sing the Gloria, the Alleluia, we have flowers, beautiful lilies all over the church. So it is a magnificent contrast when we get to Easter, the celebration of Easter. And they always say that our joy on Easter is in direct proportion to the prayer and penance that we did during Lent. If we make those little sacrifices of giving something up, we spend more time in prayer, then our joy at Easter will be all the greater. So we are preparing now during these next 40 days for the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So make a good confession during the season and meditate upon the passion of Christ. Lent has always been a season in which we especially make the Stations of the Cross. As you know, we say those every Friday night over in the historic chapel across the street. It's interesting, the origin of the Stations of the Cross occurred very shortly after, they say, that the Lord ascended into heaven. Many of the disciples and the apostles, and maybe even the Blessed Mother herself, would go into Jerusalem and walk the way of the cross. And that's how it originated, that Christians wanted to go in the footsteps of Christ. So they would start at Pontius Pilate's mansion, where Pilate condemned Jesus. They would walk and they would stop at the places. The word station means a stopping place or a waiting place, like a bus station, a train station. So the Stations of the Cross were the places where the Christians would stop and pray. And they would pray at the place where Jesus met his mother, where Veronica wiped Jesus' face, where Jesus fell the first, second, and third time, where Simon helped Jesus to carry the cross. And so the Blessed Mother, perhaps, and the apostles and the early followers of Christ would walk this way of the cross. And it was a tradition down throughout the centuries that Christians always wanted to make the Via Dolorosa the way of the cross. Well, eventually, when the Holy Land was under a lot of turmoil and fighting, it was too dangerous to go there. And so St. Francis of Assisi and the Franciscans said, well, let's make Stations of the Cross and put them in churches outside of the Holy Land in case you couldn't travel there yourself. So you can go in any Catholic church today and make the way of the cross, the Stations of the Cross. So Lent is a time to really meditate about how much God loves you by thinking about the passion of Christ and the scourging and all the things that the Lord went through. That's why during Lent, every day, I always say the sorrowful mysteries of the Rosary every day during Lent. It's something I've done for years. And if you've ever done it, you'll know how beneficial it is. Because every day, for at least 15, 20 minutes, you'll be meditating upon the agony in the garden, the scourging at the pillar, the crowning with thorns, the carrying of the cross, and the crucifixion. So it's very helpful to keep that spirit of Lent alive. So may this season be a season of great holiness for each of you to grow closer to the Lord, closer to our Blessed Mother, that will meditate upon His passion, His sufferings, and that will be able to fight the temptations that the devil tries to give us during this holy season. So may it be a season of prayer and penance and spiritual growth, a true Lent, a true blossoming of our faith, so that by Easter we'll all be brought closer to our Lord Jesus Christ.